I want to start out with a story this morning. Some 15-year-old girlfriends decided to meet for dinner. They discussed where to eat and finally agreed on McDonald's next to the seaside restaurant because they only had $6.50 between them, and Bobby Bruce, the cute boy in science class, lived on that street. 10 years later, the same girlfriends, now 25 years old, discussed where to meet for dinner. Finally, they agreed to meet at the seaside restaurant because it had free snacks, no cover charge, the beer was cheap, the band was good, and there were lots of cute guys. 10 years later, the same girlfriends, now 35 years old, discussed where to meet for dinner. Finally, they agreed to meet at the seaside restaurant because the combos were good, it was near the gym, and if they went late enough, they could get a babysitter and leave their babies at home. 10 years later, the same girlfriends, now 45 years old, discussed where to meet for dinner. Finally, they agreed to meet at the seaside restaurant because the martinis were big and the waiters wore tight pants and they had cute buns. 10 years later, the same girlfriends, now 55 years old, discussed where to meet for dinner. Finally, they agreed to meet at the seaside restaurant because the prices were reasonable. It had windows which opened in case of hot flashes. The wine list was good. The fish was good for their cholesterol. 10 years later, the same girlfriends, now 65 years old, discussed where to meet for dinner. Finally, they agreed to meet at the seaside restaurant because they had an early bird special and the lighting was good. 10 years later, the same girlfriends, now 75 years old, discussed where to meet for dinner. Finally, they agreed to meet at the seaside restaurant because the food wasn't too spicy and it was handicap accessible. 10 years later, the same girlfriends, now 85 years old, discussed where to meet for dinner. Finally, they agreed to meet at the seaside restaurant because they'd never been there before. I've noticed that my memory is also not what it used to be, so I carry around what I call my external hard drive, my blue leather journal. I attended the Festival of Homiletics Preaching Conference in Denver recently, where I had the pleasure of hearing many fantastic preachers speak about faith and church, worship and community. And while I was there, I used my journal to write down my notes and my thoughts. The Reverend Dr. David Luz, the president of the Lutheran Theological Seminary, who writes extensively about making sense of being a Christian in the 21st century, was one of the preachers who spoke that week. He also writes a blog called In the Meantime, in which he writes of the sacraments like bread, which we heard this morning throughout our readings. He writes, "That is, the sacraments are the embodiment of the proclaimed and heard gospel in physical form, the gospel given shape in water, bread, and wine. They serve us then as physical reminders of what we have heard and believe, simply because we are physical creatures, and remembering and believing can be so hard. And so we have the gospel preached to us so that we may hear it, and we have the same gospel given to us so that we may taste and touch and feel it with our hands and mouths and bodies." John's gospel does a great job in helping us to see Jesus as someone we could relate to, and he does it by encouraging us to use all of our senses. John's gospel, especially chapter 6, plays a significant role in helping us to better understand and remember the sacraments through the power of story. Beginning this week, and for the next 4 consecutive weeks, the gospel reading will be from John, and it will be about this living bread. Though we come to the Lord's table every week, drawn by a faith stored in us through the gospels, and many of us have even taken communion classes as children, I know I did, I want to take a straw poll this morning. How many of us can say with absolute certainty that we completely understand the mystery of the Holy Communion? You notice even my hand is not up. I have a couple of clergy friends who posited a question about why we're doing these 5 consecutive weeks of readings about the bread from John's gospel. And they were asking anyone who was out in the nether sphere if they knew why we're doing this about bread for 5 weeks in a row. And if you're wondering if there were any aha moments or consensus amongst all those preachers online, and by the way, some of them are professors of theology, none of us could answer the question definitively. And if we don't understand these things, says Dr. Luz, is it really any wonder? I mean, debate about the meaning of the sacraments rages within the church, both between different traditions and within them. So the sacraments hold this unusual place in the church in that they are both central to our life of faith and yet also can be so very confusing. So one way to better understand the meaning of the sacrament of Holy Communion would be to look closer at the feeding of the 5,000. Did you know that this is the first example of Jesus taking bread, giving thanks, and distributing it to the people? Are you surprised that the first time wasn't the Last Supper? Did you also know that this story appears in all 4 Gospels? That alone should tell us that we are meant to remember this story. You see, that day Jesus knew the people were in deep need, and not just the kind of need that a piece of fish and a hunk of bread could satisfy. Remembering the 5,000 can help us to remember how much in need we as a modern people can be too. Jesus knew he lived in a time of great suffering and uncertainty. He knew that the people needed hope and healing. He knew he lived in a time when many starved and hungered for the bread of life that would give them courage to face their own Golgothas. So he knew they needed courage and community. He knew many were timid and afraid. He knew they needed to believe in the kingdom of heaven made real right here on earth. In other words, he knew they needed a miracle. Preacher Nadia Boltz-Weber believes miracles and not lessons about sharing are what we really need. So as crazy as it is, I believe in miracles, not because I think I'm supposed to, but because I need to. I need to believe that God does what we cannot do. And I think the disciples came to believe that very thing, that Jesus could do what they could not. So let's take a look at Andrew. He must have been an observant kind of guy, since he knew there was a little boy there with some food in a crowd of 5,000 people. And beside Andrew, there's Philip and the other disciples watching with Jesus while all those people gathered together. And Andrew must have put 2 and 2 together and soon realized that it ain't going to feed 5,000. So they go up to Jesus. And you can tell they needed to believe that Jesus could find a way when there was no way. Feed the 5,000, they say. Do the impossible. Don't we ask the same thing whenever we come to worship, whenever we come in, sit down, and kneel in prayer? Even though we live in the modern age, don't we struggle with needing a miracle? Don't we ask, please, Jesus, I've tried to think of a way to fix this brokenness, and I can't seem to find my way. Help me to mend this heartache. Don't we ask, please, Jesus, I'm at my wit's end, and I don't know who to turn to or what to do. Help me find hope for tomorrow. Don't we ask, please, Jesus, my son is on the wrong path. Help me find a way to reach him. Don't we come here secretly praying in our heart of hearts for something that will deliver us from a suffering and uncertainty in life that no one else understands? Don't we come forward for Holy Communion just like the 5,000 did, praying that the living bread will give us the courage to face our own Golgotha, whatever that may be? Are we not just as broken and in need of a miracle as they were? Preacher Douglas John Hall believes that what is miraculous is that a human being, through his words and actions, could embody such hope and healing that thousands would follow him about, feeling that their need for the bread of life had been fulfilled. The miracle is not that a man was raised from the dead, but that through the journey with the crucified one, the disciple community was enabled to find hope on the far side of despair. Faith that could live with doubt and the courage to live beyond the sting of death. Now, you may believe in the power of miracles, or you may not, but remember this, you are loved beyond death. You may come to the Lord's table believing it to be a symbol of Christ's body and blood, or you may not know what you believe, but remember this, all are welcome. My brothers and sisters in Christ, as we journey with the crucified one, may we come to the table remembering that we are just as hungry and in need of salvation as the 5,000. May we remember that Jesus comes to us in Holy Communion as the embodied form of the gospel made real in water, bread, and wine. May we taste and touch and feel it with our hands and mouths and bodies and be so fed by it that we will be transformed into a community of disciples living in hope. So I invite you to come forward to the Lord's table this morning, and in the words of David Lewes, hold nothing back and risk all, for it is the Lord himself who invites us to share his meal, the Lord himself who nourishes us with his own body, the Lord himself who calls you to new life and hope, now and forever. And we are invited to come as we are, Hawaiian shirts and all, for you are loved as you all. And may all God's people say, amen.